Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 17, which is called The Divisions of Fate, text number, let me see. Yesterday we did 1866. I left off with the...
You can do 17, 18, and 19.
Well, what about 15 then?
Was done already.
Huh?
Was done already.
When?
15 was done by myself before the master.
Oh, I see. I missed that class. Right. Yeah. So then today we'll do 16 then.
No, 16 was already done by the
master. No, I did 66. 1866
he did. No, that was 10th meeting.
Yeah. Who did 16 then?
16 was done by the master.
Oh, I see. You did?
The last meeting, yeah.
Oh, that was on Queen's Day. You did 15.
No, that was on Wednesday. After Queen's Day.
Yeah, you did Queen's Day. 15.
After coming back, that was Tuesday, they went to Amsterdam.
Right.
So today should be 17, 18, and 19.
Okay.
Together, because yesterday was not covered.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it's always a question, huh? What do we do? Are we going to chant the first verse or we're going to chant the 19th verse? I think we should do the text 19. What is it? What did he say? 17, 18, 19? Let's just see, you know. I think I'll just do 18. Let's just see. Anyway, I'll just read 17. Anyway, we'll just do the whole thing. What does it matter? Please repeat. Shradaya Parayaha Taptang Tappaha Tat Trividam Narai Afala Akangshribihi Yuktai Satvikam Parichaksate Shradaya Paraya Taptang Tapasta Trividang Narai Afala Akangshribir Yuktai Satvikam parachakshate Shradhaya paraya tattang Tapastatri vidingnarai Avalakangshibir yuktai Satvikam parachakshate Shradaya paraya taptang tapastatri virang narai avalakangshibir yuktai satvikam parachakshate. Please repeat. Shradaya paraya taptang Tapasta trividang narai Avala kangshibir yuktai Satvikam parichakshate. Would you like to repeat, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Would you like to repeat it? Or?
Yeah?
Mataji, would you like to say it? Huh? Okay, please repeat. Shradaya with faith. Paraya transcendental. Taptam, executed. Tapaha, austerity. Tat, that. Trividam, of three kinds. Narai, by men. Afala akangshibihi, who are without desires for fruits. Yuktai, engaged. Satvikam, in the mode of goodness. Parichakshate, is called. Translation. This threefold austerity performed by transcendental faith, by man not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sarasvati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll recite one more verse. And this is a very special verse because we are in a very special temple. Shriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsi Vatata Sthitaha Karshan Venu Svaner Gopir Gopinata Sriyesunaha Shishila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsi Vat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. Okay, so this is a very important verse in a very important chapter. I'll read the translation again. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith, Shraddhaya Paraya. Shraddha means faith, Paraya means higher or transcendental. Shraddhaya Paraya. Tapasta Trividam Narai. By man not expecting material benefits, Afala Kangshibir Yuktai. Afala, fala means fruit. Afala means without any fruit. Akangshibi. Kangsha means like desire. Akangsha. Akangshibihi. Without, who are without desires for fruits. Yuktai sattvikam parichakshate. That they are yuktai. Yukta means like yoga. It means connected in this context is translated as engaged in sattvikam, in the mode of goodness. So what is Krishna talking about? This threefold austerity. So he's talking about austerity of the body, austerity of speech, and austerity of the mind. You with me? This is the previous three verses. You see? That is what he's talking about. That's why, you know, I know it doesn't have a purport, and I know it's the unwritten rule in ISKCON. If it doesn't have a purport, you cannot give class on it. But we also have to be practical, because we should understand this book. We should understand these verses. And this is a very, very important verse. You see, and it ties in the other three verses. You know, this is philosophy. So we have to understand it. You see, we cannot just... I mean, Prabhupada says blind following is condemned. It's okay if you follow blindly. In one sense, it's okay. If we want to preach, however, then we need intelligence. Without intelligence, you cannot preach. Well, I mean, at least you need to have some knowledge. You know, because I'm just remembering Malati's daughter. I forgot her name, but she was like 5 years old, and she was telling Krishna, "Do you know who is God?" And they were saying, "No." She said, "Krishna is God." And Prabhupada said, "Just see. She's a perfect preacher." Still, it is knowledge. She had the knowledge. And she had actually, it is actually intelligence, because she was smart. She didn't say Krishna was God, she asked him first. So this is smart. So even a child can be smart. So yeah, to preach we need some intelligence. And you know, Nirvishesha Shunyavani, we say it every day. So this is Prabhupada's mission. And of course there's a famous story, I'm pretty sure it was Kirtanananda. He was saying, "Prabhupada, why are you always talking about the Mayavadis?" Prabhupada says, "Because you are a Mayavadi." Something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. I'm sorry to say, you know, I notice it every day in my life, that not only I, but unfortunately also people around me, we have the impersonal tendencies. Like, of course, you're from South Africa, right? So you have a Hindu background. So it is there a little bit. Still the tendency, I mean, this is a prison house, huh? And the fact that we are here, it means that we're sinful. There is no other way around it. I mean, there's exceptions, like Lord Jesus and Srila Prabhupada. There's people that are sent here in the prison house. Like, I don't know exactly how you should. Prabhupada gives the example with Krishna and the ward, you know. Like if the ward sometimes enters the prison to check if everything is all right, or if something is not all right, actually. Sometimes there's a riot. And then the ward comes in, and he checks out what's going on. First, of course, the police comes in, and then the ward comes in. So Krishna is a little bit the same. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashya chaduskritam. If it gets too bad, then Krishna comes. Like, the next incarnation is Kalki. I mean, now we're very lucky, because now we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's coming with conch, with his beauty. You know this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam? That he comes with his weapons. I forgot the verse. But yeah, it's predicted by Sukadeva Goswami in the 12th canto. And it speaks about this astra. Astra. Astra means weapon, like Brahmastra. So in that verse, it speaks about the astra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing. I think it's something like... Chasa Krishna, he's all the time chanting Krishna. Anyway, I'm a little rusty, but the point is that his astra, his weapon, is his beauty. Sometimes it's said like that. Sometimes it's said that it is his associates. Sometimes it's said this is cartels. It can be all of these things. His beauty, his associates, his cartels, his music, everything. So, and then the next one, so we're very lucky, the next one doesn't bring any books. He just brings a sword and he starts chopping up demons. So that is if it gets too bad. And then it's the beginning of Sanya Yuga, actually. It's the end of Kali Yuga. So anyway, but we have the impersonal tendency, because we are in a prison. I'm just explaining that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada, Kalki, they're like wardens. They're like... They come into the prison, but they're not part of the prison. They're not prisoners. But in general, most people, if not all people, they are prisoners. That means that they have done something sinful. We have done something sinful in the spiritual world. So sometimes this temple is called like a hospital, you know, and sometimes it's called a prison house. So this temple is like a prison hospital. And at the same time also we are of course an army, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army. I don't know, came with us on Queen's Day?
Yes.
So it was like a real army, you know? It was dangerous. People were crazy. And Kadama Kamraj, that square is actually a very infamous square. It's called Leidseplein. And there's always many riots on that square. In fact, my friend, he got pickpocketed. They pickpocketed his phone. It's a very bad square. So Maharaj and me, we know that. So Maharaj, he was giving it 100%. Because you cannot mess around in that square. If you come on that square and you're a little bit not fixed, then people will start screaming. But that was not going on. Because we were too powerful. People could see, you cannot mess with these guys, you know. We just took over the whole square. It's a very powerful thing to do. It's not so easy to take over that square, you know. So, but we did, by Kadama Karma's mercy. So it's like an army. But at the same time, the whole idea is that we become qualified soldiers. I never found this quote, but I heard, and I know it's Prabhupada's mood. He said, I want Brahmanas with Kshatriya mood. But take it from me, this verse also, let's focus on the Brahmana part first. Because I think, especially in the past, we've been too much focusing on the Kshatriya part. And Prabhupada in the 70s already said we should boil down the milk. You know? Boil down the milk, that is a Brahminical thing. Brahmins boil milk, Kshatriyas don't boil milk. So we should really... And boiling down the milk means education. You know? And that is what I'm trying to point at. That we should really focus on what Krishna is saying. And we should educate ourselves. And... yeah, I was speaking about Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. You know, that this is Prabhupada's mission. And so we should preach against that. You know? And I was trying to explain that we, you know, including myself, we have these impersonal tendencies. You know? This is called Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. It's ingrained in our psyche. Like I was talking with my friend. And I've also been through that. It's called the fanatical bhakta syndrome. You become this very fanatical brahmachari, kind of. And you kind of lose your identity. And that's exactly what he said. He said the old, I won't call his name, the old, you know, and he called his name, is dead. I said, he's not dead. I said, you killed him. You put him in a coma. Because Prabhupada says you just change the account. Krishna and me, like I won't say my karmi name, but I used to do things for myself, you see, and now I'm trying to do things for Krishna. And Prabhupada says it's nothing else. Like when people would come into the temple, Prabhupada said, "What would you like to do for Krishna?" Sometimes we get all fired up about Varnashram Dharma. That's it. That's all it is. It's nothing more, nothing less. What would you like to do for Krishna? That's Varnashram Dharma right there. We don't have to overanalyze it. We can if we want. But Prabhupada is the genius. He's like Mozart. Like some people say Mozart is simple music. But there's something behind it. Most people that know classical music know that Mozart is a genius. You know, it's the same with Prabhupada. He makes it very simple. What would you like to do for Krishna? But there's something behind it. It's a genius. You know? So we should just do what we like to do. Like Kadama Karmat told me, you should do, instead of being pushed by Krishna or by the devotees, you should do something that is pulling you. I want to do that. Like I like to give lecture. I was playing football. It's a little bit of a Maya, I'll admit it. But then, you know, I don't know if he said it, but I heard that he said it. Indrajuna Maharaj said, sometimes a little Maya, it's good to overcome a bigger Maya. You know? Because I figured I do so many Mayic things in my life. So I thought, if I look at the Mayic things I do, football is on the bottom. You know? But the fact that I had to give class, it pulled me away. Because I like to give class. You see? So, it's natural for me. Like, I've been talking my whole life. I know Krishna since I was 14, actually. And I was always arguing with my friends. And they were saying, that's your opinion. I said, it's not about opinion, it's about the truth. And they couldn't stand it, because in Holland, everybody has an opinion. And you have to respect that. And I didn't respect it. I said, no. It's either. And I saw this movie, Gandhi. Like Srila Prabhupada, I was also a follower of Gandhi. You know? Because actually, Prabhupada, many times, he criticized Gandhi. We all know that. But there's one incident. And I don't think it's in the Vedabase, I'm not sure. But it's there. I think Gurudas tells it. I'm not sure who tells it. But he's there in Juhu. And Prabhupada walks really far, farther than he ever walked, and he's almost like running. And he walked to the statue, and he paid his respects. It was Gandhi's statue. He said, actually, you know, Gandhi is very nice. But, you know, for preaching, I had to criticize him. But, you know, he's a sadhu. I think sometimes, I'm not sure if Prabhupada said it, but some devotees said it, Gandhi is a sadhu amongst politicians. And he is a politician among sadhu. So he's up there. He's nice. But also he was a little bit impersonal, his philosophy. And I don't want to criticize Gandhi because there's more things, and now also biographies are coming out. But I just want to share this knowledge that Prabhupada actually, deep in his heart, he liked Gandhi. You know, but for preaching, he had to explain that his philosophy was off. Well, because it was. You know, but because sometimes as a preacher you have to a little bit polarize things to make it more clear, you know. But in his heart he liked Gandhi, you know, but certain things he had to criticize him for. So anyway, I also like Gandhi, and one of the things I especially liked about Gandhi, he said many nice things, but one of the things he said, if you are right, it doesn't matter if a million people say you're wrong. Because he experienced that in South Africa. That's actually where it started, you know. And he just kept his ground, and he did the same thing in India, you know. So it's a little bit of a political thing, but the principle is there. Because a devotee, Prabhupada says, for a devotee is natural, he's going to get enemies. Especially demons, you know. Because a devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, he wasn't doing anything wrong. And still his father became so demoniac. He tried to kill him so many times. This is normal for a devotee, you know. And I think there's more examples like that. I mean, even the Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, what did they do wrong? They just asked a little land of Duryodhana, and he didn't want to give. So it was too much. And there's other things also. They tried everything. So the war was unavoidable. Anyway, now that was a side point of the Gandhi, but my point was that I was, for me it was natural to talk. I was explaining that. I would be in the cafe and I would just discuss with my friends all the time, philosophical discussions. And it was really intense, you know. I didn't lose so many friends, but it was always serious. I mean, I would order a lot of beer also. Wasn't very good, but the talk was always very philosophical. And you know, just before I joined, I saw this in a John Wayne movie, and he said, as my Mexican friend used to say, on the pure life. And I remembered this, and I was putting these thoughts with my friends, and deep inside my heart I was praying, you know, one day I will live the pure life. I realized that what I was doing, it wasn't pure, but I didn't know any better, because I never met the devotees. I got the books from a friend, and one Sankaran devotee gave me the books, but it was so quick because I was in a rush and it didn't really register. So I never met the devotees. And somebody told me, the friend that gave me the books, he said, yeah, the movement when Prabhupada died, it became very bad. Don't go there. And unfortunately, I believed him, you know, on his word. I never checked it out. It was my bad karma. You know? This is my demoniac nature. Anyway, but you know, fortunately, I kept this prayer going. Every time I cheered, and I told my friends, on the pure life. And they could see the irony of it, and they liked it, you know. So I was reminding myself, this is not the pure life. This is not the pure life. You should live the pure life one day. So, and now I'm trying, you know, trying to do that. So anyway, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. You know, this is what I wanted to say, but just to finish the point, I was just explaining about Varnashram, about Prabhupada saying something very simple, but something very big is behind it. You just do what you want to do for Krishna. This is very important. And it also kind of ties in with the mood of what I want to say today, is that we have to take care of devotees. This is, I mean, I think practically no one will argue with me if I say that at this stage, Radhanath Swami is the most successful. Right? Is it not true? Right? Is it not true?
Yes.
I mean, He's like, everybody's talking about it. Now, he sent 4 managers to Calcutta. It was always a big mess. I've only heard this, I haven't seen it. And now they say it's a blooming temple. It's not even Ratnatswami, he just sent 4 of his managers there. They cleaned the whole thing up, just by giving knowledge. You know? So, but the thing is with Ranan Maharaj, his devotee care. That's in the forefront. I saw I was with this Vyasapuja, with his disciples, and they showed me the video. This was in the forefront of their preaching. We have to take care of the devotees, and this is part of it. Devotees should do what they like to do. And this is what I'm trying to explain also about my friend I was talking with. That he was saying, the old person is dead. And this is impersonalism. You see, because we cannot kill anything. You know that. We get another body. There is nothing that is... It's called Maya. There is nothing that is not Krishna. Anything that is not Krishna is Maya. The material energy, we call it Maya. But we know that actually it's Krishna's energy. You know? And it's eternal. We know from Bhagavad Gita, we know from Bhagavatam, material energy is eternal. It is avyaktam and vyaktam. It is manifested and unmanifested. But factually it's eternal. Only thing that is not eternal is karma. Karma is temporary. That is what Krama Karma was also explaining. That karma is temporary. And you need to have the devotee to save you. Because nothing else can really save you. You need to... I mean, you have the yogi, the jnani yogi, you know, and he can come up to Vaikuntha. Not the jnana yogi. I think he can come up to Brahma, but it is the real yogi, you know. The real yogi can meditate and see the super soul in his heart. So it's possible like that, but that is very, very difficult. And it's not really possible in this age. So, you need the mercy of a devotee. But at the same time, you also need to have the capacity to receive that mercy.
Just one thing that I'm not catching there. Talking about impersonalism.
Yeah.
What you actually learned?
Well, I'm getting to that. So, let me go back to that point. So my friend was saying that old person is dead. You see? And I was arguing with him. I said, I like that old person. He was really nice. Because, you know, I don't know.
Is your friend now a devotee?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, so
no, he's a devotee.
About the person that he was before.
Yeah, it's... I mean, have you never heard of this? The fanatical bhakta syndrome? You never heard of this? The thing is, you have to be in a temple to understand this. And that disease, I kind of call it a disease, it only happens with brahmacharis. Generally. You become this very, very fanatical devotee. Like I used to preach to my family, you will all go to hell, don't eat meat. And they all got upset. They didn't listen to me. And now I don't preach to them anymore. I just try to be a nice son and a nice brother. You know, normal. Prabhupada, I found one quote, just to refer to this. Prabhupada said, it's not that you leave like common things. It's just that you don't get disturbed by good and bad as a devotee. You're just more fixed. And, you know, when I'm with my family, I gotta admit, I'm not so fixed yet. I get still disturbed by so many normal things. But the devotee is actually, is not supposed to be disturbed by these kind of normal things. Supposed to be equipoised.
Normal is not very normal.
No, I'm talking about driving a car or, you know, these kind of things. Devotee is not supposed to be disturbed by traffic and these kind of things. It's supposed to be cool.
Or you mean like getting upset in traffic?
Yeah, something like that, you know. So, and I still get that. So devotee is not really supposed to be like that. But the point I was making is that, you know, about this impersonalism, that Prabhupada was preaching against that, and that Kirtanananda was asking, why are we preaching against the Mayavadis? And he was saying, because you're my Avadi. And I'm trying to give you this example of my friend, that him saying that that old person is dead, it's an impersonalism. I'm trying to explain to you that you cannot kill anybody. You cannot kill anything. It is a Mayavadic philosophy that you can kill the mind. That is what it means, nirvishesha. This is Buddhist philosophy. You just make everything zero. That's what it means. Nir means zero. And Mayavadi means it's all Maya, which is basically the same. It's a little bit more poisonous. Because they don't make it zero, they make it Maya. It's a very subtle philosophy. But the result is the same. They have to come back, because the spirit soul, as you know, Satchitananda Vigra, it is full of bliss, and it is a form, it is used to interaction. And you cannot kill it. It's described in the second chapter. So what we need to so-called kill, I mean, it's a little bit psychological class, is we don't really need to kill anything, actually. This is, again, I bring it back to what I said in the beginning, Prabhupada just asked, what would you like to do for Krishna? And he said, chant Hare Krishna. That's really all he said. He didn't even say, you have to, you know, follow the four regulative principles. Because the acharyas know, if you chant Hare Krishna, automatically you will stop these things. And it is a fact. I mean, you can push yourself a little bit, because I also feel that nowadays, if a brahmachari, you know, he gets a little bit mental, everybody says you should get married. That's also not the idea. If a brahmachari gets mental, people should tell him, you should chant Hare Krishna. Come to the morning program. You know, I mean, if somebody, you know, starts breaking the principles, or okay, then, you know. But then also, maybe he should not get married, because that means he's not fixed up. Grihastha ashram is a very responsible ashram. So, you know, the cure for being lusty is not necessarily getting married. It's chanting Hare Krishna. Anyway, the point is that we can force it a little bit sometimes. But at the same time, we should do what we like to do. And we just have to give up the bad habits and chant Hare Krishna, preferably 16 rounds. That's it. That's really it. And it took me 16 years to find it out, and I am conditioned. So I'm, like, I used to do yoga. I think Ramanuja Acharya, you should know that, you're from the college. He used to do yoga, right?
Ramanuja.
Yeah. You should know. Find out. Find out, that's the other one. Ask someone. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ramanuja Acharya, he was like a yogi. Prithu Prabhu, you can read in the, which canto?
Nine.
Testing you. Very good. I think the ninth canto is very clearly explained. Prithu Prabhu was a yogi. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, you can engage these things in devotional service. Like when people were doing school, I'm going to get a little critical now, Prabhupada said, finish it. You know, but he never really encouraged people to go to college. You know, but if you're already doing it, then just finish it. So you can engage anything in Krishna's service. You don't have to give up nothing. Only your bad habits. And that, I explained, you don't even have to give up. Just chant Hare Krishna and it will go away by itself. Yes?
What if you're sort of broken from your bad habits, you know? Like, what if you sort of, say, if you're intoxicating and stuff like that, and you, say, smoke weed or whatever, and there's these sort of influences on your subtle body, and how are you supposed to just chant Hare Krishna when you're in such a...
Oh, you have to chant more Hare Krishna, because I'm an experienced smoker. And I experienced what you just said, you know. I felt actually there were holes in my aura, and I filled the holes up with smoke. And then when I stopped smoking, I felt that ghosts were attacking me. But when I started to chant, it was closing those holes, you know. So you have to chant. And we were discussing it last time, you know. Chant, dance, and be happy. And Prabhupada says, and we cannot even do that, this is the problem. We are so fallen. The problem is so simple and we cannot do it. And this brings me back to the thing I wanted to bring across. That I told this friend, I miss the old person. And this is a little bit what happens with us, you know. We kind of lose ourselves. We start chanting Hare Krishna. Another devotee explained like this. This process, we underestimate it a little bit. This is like an atom bomb. This is why people sometimes, I don't like the word bloop so much, because it doesn't happen so much anymore. Prabhupada explained, in the old days, people blooped. You're either in or out. And when they were out, they were gone. You never heard of them again. Now you got their email, you got their Facebook, they're chanting 3 rounds, 4 rounds, they're married to a devotee girl, or a girl is married to a devotee man. They're not really blooped, they're just taking easy. Blooping is something else, you know? And they're just having some like a little hiccup. Be careful, eh? Api sensudracharo, bachate mama nanyabak, sadureva samantavya, then. We need to know the last line. But the point is that he's a sadhu, even if he commits the most abominable activity. If his, that is the last line, if his determination is fixed. So if somebody is a little bit on the side of ISKCON and he's still chanting 3 rounds, it means his determination is still fixed. Even if he's not chanting any rounds, but he keeps the philosophy in mind, or he takes care of his devotee family, that means he's still a sadhu, you know? Anyway, the point is that it's like an atom bomb, this bhakti, you know? It goes in the heart. And when people sometimes, they leave, it's very painful because they surrender not just with their mind, because some jobs you do with your body, you know, sutra job. And some jobs you do with your mind. And some jobs you do with your intelligence. That becomes very painful. But our job, devotional service, is kind of a job, devotional job. We do it with our heart. With our soul. That's why it's so painful when we don't get appreciated and when we kind of leave, because we leave with our whole being. It's so painful. And when we do the process, we do it with our whole being. And we kind of get confused that this is my experience with myself and also with others. And we forget the important stuff, you know, like being nice to other people, other devotees. And it's difficult because we've never really learned it. If I speak for myself, I mean, my father, he tried to give me a lot of love, and my mother as well, and I think they did. But, you know, we're talking about Vedic culture. If you compare it to Lord Krishna, how he was treated by his parents, you know, or any devotee, you know, in Chaitanya Lila, or they didn't eat meat generally, you know, it's different, you know. So we don't really know how to be nice. It's not really learned. And we need to look. When I speak like that, then we are looking automatically at the leaders. And I'm not ashamed to say, for instance, you know, Bhakti Charaswami, I think he has that, you know. And I also saw him with Satchinandan Swami, and I'm pretty sure it was Kanamakana Maharaj, and just how Bhakti Charaswami was interacting with them, you know. I never saw him before, but he just showed us how much he loved his God brothers. And sometimes, especially in the past, it wasn't there. You know, there was kind of an enmity. So it's very important that the leaders, they show this love with each other and also towards their disciples and expand it. And like I said, you know, Radhanath Swami is really stressing this. So yeah, so this happens, that we come to Krishna consciousness. I'm not so much talking about you, because you kind of grown up into it. But it's especially people like me that come from a situation and then they enter devotional service, and it's just something short circuits, like an atom bomb of bhakti and so many things, and then we get confused. And, you know, I'm mainly talking about myself now. And then you kind of lose, you know, the like I said, the important things, like being polite, being nice, and so, and that is the impersonalism. You know, so this friend of mine, I think at the end he got it. He understood that he should just be himself. And then add Krishna, add the chanting, and just give up those 4 bad habits. Like Prabhupada says, you know, why let such a little thing like a cigarette, why let it in between you and Krishna? Just smoke one less every day, he told Shyamasundara. So, but don't worry about that so much. Just add Krishna, chanter, and do something that you like. Like he liked to play flute. So there's nothing wrong with playing flute. But you play it for Krishna. So that is my advice. You find something that you like to do and do it for Krishna. And then just be yourself. And of course, you got to be humble. It is a little bit difficult sometimes. And sometimes devotees ask, how we have to be humble? Prabhupada said, just be humble. So that we do need to keep it as a garland, Samantha said. But that is a detail. That is a detail. If you can just find something that you like to do, and you change on Krishna, and everything will come from there. That's what we're going to do right now, chant Hare Krishna together. That's the most important, because japa gets a little boring. I'm sorry, it still gets, so it will get better, but this chanting is really nice together. So thank you very much. All glory to Prabhupada.